Well, hey, here we go. We're going to just take a look at the Word of God, and we're going to take a look at today's message. So if you would grab something to write real quick, and you know how we like to get you into a life group and say, hey, this is what I felt like the Lord showed me. This will be good. Today, as you know, we are looking at part six of our series. That series is entitled Living Beyond Our Setbacks. So Living Beyond Our Setbacks. Today, we're going to finish that series. This will be the final, and then we're going to be having some missionaries come and address things because we have Foursquare Convention in Anaheim next week. So all these missionaries are gathering. We'll have two sets of them coming to speak, and are you going to be very pleased to see what God's doing, like you just heard from Hope Smith, around the world. God's really moving, but he's going to move right now. Do you believe that? So today's message is entitled Living Beyond Anxiety, Living Beyond Anxiety. So Lord, thank you. We're going to believe that your peace is going to just prevail in our setting. You already have begun that, so we thank you for doing that. Not by might, not by power, or by my persuasion, it's by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting when you take a look at anxiety and you take a look at stats that are on the internet, it is so common in society, and we all have different levels of anxiety. Some continue like chronic anxiety. It's one particular day after another, and people are really dealing with it. The data out there shows that it's very severe, and it's common. And when we take a look at what's happening in right now, I want to just have the Lord work something in us, and only he could do, to see how we can live beyond anxiety, what it is. Because usually things happen in our lives that develop stress, and then stress elongated goes into anxiety, and if it's not catched properly, a person starts to develop what's called depression, and that's very severe. But anxiety, we all say, well, that's just a part of life. Well, let's believe God has something better for you and me. Amen? Number one in your notes, take a look at that. We fight anxiety with a healthy lifestyle. With a healthy lifestyle. What do I mean by that? A lot of times, our own lifestyle gives way to the anxiety in our lives. If we could just make some changes, we'd be better off. Wouldn't it be nice? We just kind of throw a few buckshots out there and say, whoa, that's me. That's all I'll do. I'll make a couple of changes. But there are things that are happening. We live in a manner that really sets us off into anxiety. And look what the Bible says. I'm going to look at Psalm 127, verse 2. We'll put it up there for you who are at home, reading from the New Living Translation. So here we go. It says, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Now, I think it's worth noting, God's word says it's worthless to work from morning until night. Now, that doesn't mean you're checking in the time clock, working those hours, but some of us, maybe a lot of us, we'll do a job in the day, then we go home and we're picking up another 6 hours, and we finally go to bed at maybe 1 or 2. And God says, that is worthless to do that. You actually are supposed to get rest. And the Lord did a nice thing for society, for humanity. It's called the Sabbath. You know there's a 10 commandments, right? And one of them is, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. It's a day of rest and worship, I like to say that. So good job coming to church today, and may you all get a good nap. But that's part of the Ten Commandments. And that means God, remember when he, I believe, made everything in 6 literal days, and on the 7th day, the Bible says, God rested. Now, did he need to rest? No. But he does and is such a good teacher. He led by example. So to have a little, what I like to call a mini vacation, is really a great ingredient. And God knows our bodies cannot and our minds cannot sustain long durations of work. Bible says, we just read, it's actually foolish to work so long. So some of you are literally, you don't know how to rest. We don't know how to rest. We actually feel we are more valued because of what we're producing. And therefore, it's like, well, our emotional health is in jeopardy. Our relationships are in jeopardy, but we sure feel good about our achievements. It's really a pride thing. Be careful about that. That's leading to anxiety. So without rest, we're not intentionally restored. You're just not going to be restored. Things can start to give away in your health. You're not going to be restored in your relationships. You're going to rarely hear from God because you're not resting. We just don't slow down to hear from God. So it's important we watch out for that. We become humans that do and not human beings. So let's just watch out. Watch out very clearly. I rest because I want to be the best spouse I can. I rest because I want to be the best grandparent I can. I want to be the best I can for you. I want to be the best follower of Jesus. And it's going to require me to rest. And it's just the way God lays it out. Let's take a look. Letter A, again, lifestyle practice of rest. So where are you building rest into your schedule? It's going to be very important. Really, we'll schedule everything else, but do you actually schedule in rest? You actually get the family or yourself and say, hey, this particular day or even this week, I'm going to just kind of line out. That's just going to be that time of rest. Everybody benefits when you do that. Oh, please do that. So it's going to be important for us. Manage our energy. We manage our calendar, but we don't manage our energy. Letter B, lifestyle choice of exercise. We'll talk a little bit about that, but some suggest that exercise is a better antidepressant than medications. So if you could just get your little body off your seat, you say, I'm just too tired to move. Well, no wonder why you're feeling anxious. Just try to get some exercise in. And you've all seen that. Say, oh, that'd be nice to do. You have to do that. You must do that, or you're going to build anxiety in your life. Number two, we fight anxiety with prayer. I sure like this. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to plant ourselves there in Philippians 4, 6, and following. But let's see. I always like that. You who have been with us on Wednesdays, our square two, we've been learning what we call health with healthy habits. And one of them is meditating on the Word and not just reading the Word, but studying words from the Word. Boy, it's nothing like being around the Word and all of a sudden you have God come and give you an understanding. Ooh, just like He's doing maybe right now. So it's going to be important for us to have that great key ingredient of hearing what God has to say, even with certain words. Here we go. Let's check it out. Verse 6, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Check out that promise. His peace. Now, there's a peace from God that is very real and very transparent. And if you're not experiencing peace in your life, then this message is really for you. If you're filled with anxiety and that's all you know, then, Lord, how can I have the peace of God that surpasses my understanding? Where did that come from? And why is that guarding my heart and my mind? Then let's take a look. There's always that premise to the promise. The promise, I'm going to give you peace that just protects you. What's the premise? Well, here it is. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Well, that sounds easier said than done. So the Bible always defines the Bible. You really may not even have to go to other books. You just say, okay, where is that area? But I'll tell you, one of the great things, prayer is a great weapon against anxiety because God laid it out. It's right here before us. Check this particular portion out. I like 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 17. Excuse me, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. I believe that, don't you? But look for a moment now, because we're talking words. It says here, give all your worries and cares to God. Now we're talking emotions here. Give all your cares and worries to God. Didn't even say about praying about everything. Philippians did. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Most of us start off with prayer because we're so dreadfully worried, so filled with anxiety. We're hoping praying will remove the anxiety. God's word says, don't worry and don't be anxious. I like here in the New King James, same 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all. Now, how does that work? I'm glad you asked. Because it's very difficult to pray when you're so filled with worry and anxiety. You're trying to do something to suppress this high emotion of agitation. Give the anxiety to God. That's what the Bible's saying. How does that look? Well, usually, and this has been a big help for me, when I'm thinking about dear someone's like you, and I'm carrying a burden, and I'm very concerned, and it turns to worry, developing into anxiety, I'll pray, but I'll usually start this way, Lord, I give my anxiety to you. I am not going to worry about this group. I cast my care to you. Then I can pray so much better. Cast your worry to God. Lord, you know I'm so filled with anxiety right now. I'm dreadfully concerned. Take this emotion away. You say, cast my care to you. And I do. Boy, I can pray so much better. And usually, if you're not used to something like this, your bedtime prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord and my soul get to keep. And then you get, Lord, take this anxiety away. And you pray about that. I usually find at 2 in the morning, works of darkness come back to think about that same thing. Does anybody else get awakened at 2 in the morning, disrupt your sleep? Like, what is that all about? I just prayed about it. And then the lie comes in. See, it's not going to work. Who do you think you are? So I'll crawl out of bed, get on my knees. Ainsley knows I get on my knees before I go to bed. I just a point of humility. But Lord, I'll just say, devil, you are such a liar. I gave that anxiety and that prayer to God. He's working on it. Get out in the name of Jesus. And I crawl back into bed. I sleep so good. Just, it's just great to live that way. But it's the Bible way to do that. Cast all your cares to God. Then you can sure pray. So, letter A, pray honestly. Just going to lay it out there. Be honest with the Lord. If you're sad, tell him, I am sad. I'm going to still pray. But if you're angry, Lord, I am really upset you allowed this to come into my life. I'm angry, but I'm still going to talk to you. I'm anxious. Be honest. Letter B, pray comprehensively. Pray about everything. Isn't that what verse 6? We're back to Philippians 4, 6. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. I mean everything. List it there. When's the last time you just kind of rolled out every detail of your life? If you got blueprints, pray about that. Lord, here it is. We think we got a good plan, but we're going to lay it out. Pray about everything. Besides just your mealtime. It's going to be good. Letter C, pray personally. There are a number of us that just feel very comfortable praying for others, but it's like, nah, I don't want to pray for myself. Who am I? Yeah, you got to pray for yourself. Very important to do that. And letter D, pray dependently. God's your provider. Boy, tell him you trust him. Just important to remind. And letter E, pray consistently. You know, if you just pray once a week, that's not going to get the job done. I wonder why you still have overwhelming waves of anxiety. We're talking about our daily bread. Remember the Lord's Prayer? We are in a relationship with God. He would like to hear from us. Some of us have those nagging issues that keep coming. It's like, Lord, would you take this away? Would you? well, Paul, if I take it away, I won't hear from you anymore. We check out, don't we? So I'm just going to keep the pressure on. Keeps you coming to me every morning. Number three, here we go. We fight anxiety with gratitude. We're back at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, with gratitude. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now, that's a beautiful thing to thank. Why is that? Gratitude is such a great weapon against anxiety. You're going to turn a good page to start becoming thankful. You will notice things start to improve, and people will start to want to hang around you too. God knows we don't do anxiety well. And it's a very healing. All statistics say that if you are a grateful person, you're a much healthier person. It's amazing. Check out 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We'll put it up there just for you. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Say, well, what is God's will? Well, why don't you be thankful? Take a look now. The Bible verse says, be thankful in all circumstances. Not for. There's a difference in just those little tiny words. I'm not going to be thankful for something. I despise it. I'm disgusted with it. But in the midst of it, Lord, I'm going to thank you. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. But Lord, I want to thank you. Something good's going to come out of this. It's very healing. Very transformational. But we can sure see why God actually commands us, because we're such negative people. Huh? Do you practice gratitude? Let me just throw it out there. It's important. It's kind of being lost. Seems like the latter, Bible says, in the latter days, men will become unthankful, unholy. They're not very thankful. Letter A, practice gratitude in your prayer. Just do it. Bible says it. I start my prayer with thanks. I end my prayer with thanks. Lord, I'm just going to believe you heard this, and the answer is going to come. Letter B, practice gratitude in your conversations with others. I never want to be the source of negativity or anxiety for others. I don't want to be a negative person. If you ever hang around negative people, it's like, ooh, I was so peaceful till I came across you today. Anyway, I don't want to be that way. Are you grateful for others? It's important. When was the last time you told somebody you were thankful for them, for what they did or how they responded? Just think about that. It will really help you, and everybody will like you to come around them more. When was the last time you thanked the store operator, cashier? Or you're at the restaurant and you thanked the servers and tipped them more than 3%. Oh, man, that's embarrassing. That is so embarrassing. You know, it's 20% now, yeah? But you thank the person. Have you ever thanked somebody at the drive-thru and it's like, thank you, and they say back from the window, of course. It's like, of course. Of course, I'm taking my thanks back. It's like, but it's always nice to say, you're welcome. So it's important for us. And it's also important that we get a chance, whether it's a gas station attendant. You know, we go up to Oregon, and they do not let you pump your gas. Did you know that? I'm getting out, reaching for it. Cut it out. Are you back, Paul? Get in your car. It's like, what? Yeah, you're trying to take my job. This is what we do in California. And they pump your car full of gas. So thank them. Somebody holds the door open for you, usually we'll thank them, but just be thankful. You get it. Letter C, practice gratitude when you feel anxious. That's really important. If you feel anxious over something, remember, be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful. Just try it. You're going to start to see something at really a big-time change. Number four, we fight anxiety with right thinking. You know, our anxious feelings are the result of our anxious thinking. And some of us really have a pretty creative imagination of bad thoughts. But look what here, go to verse 8. I'm back at Philippians 4, verse 8. says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, they're talking to Christians. You think, hey, we would be the most peaceful people. But not necessarily. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. See, my feelings follow my thinking. So when the Lord is saying, finally, consider what you're thinking about. Watch out about that. So what does right thinking look like? I'm glad you asked. Let me lay it out for you. Letter A, right thinking embraces choices. It's going to be important that you start to choose that you are not a victim. Man, you're loved by God. He's got such a future for each one of you. He's got a future for you. And that future involves you influencing other people. So we're looking forward to you coming here at Hope Chapel one day. So it's important we get a chance. Do not let a victim mentality ruin your life and existence. Letter B, limit exposure to what creates anxiety. Everybody write some things down, two things in particular, because I realize we can't do this with everything, limiting our exposure. We just can't. We're going to come across environments and people. But number one, unhealthy people. There are just some people, unhealthy people, write that down. There are just some people that are unhealthy and they make things harder than they need to be. And you know who they are. So limit your interaction with them. Unhealthy people, because they're negative, they impact our thinking, they're always negative, they're needy, they're antagonistic, they're toxic. Yeah, I like you, but man, you don't really, really help me. So I limit my exposure to them. Don't cut them out. Another one, unhealthy influencers. Unhealthy influencers. Write that one down. What is that? Well, it's all forms of media. All forms. I don't care what political spectrum you're watching. Even some Christian broadcast news. All of that is geared to make sure you're stirred up emotionally. You will never win in anxiety if you are watching a whole lot of news. Never win. It's a pipe dream. So if you're wanting to have victory over anxiety and move on with that, be careful. It's important. News just may be the most toxic thing Christians get into. Because? Why? Because, well, they talk about the issues of the news more than they talk about anything else. Shouldn't we bring up something that's stellar from the Word or bless people or pronounce victory over? So you can see where it becomes, it's not accomplishing of Philippians 4:8. You will never arrive at dwelling on things that appear peaceable. You never get there. So just think about that. I like letter C, increase exposure to right thinking. Just find those environments that you just know gravitate toward healthy, more peaceful attitude. It could be people or environments or content. Expose yourself to that. And then and that's really why here at Hope Chapel, we like healthy content. We want you to take something and say, man, I think I could do this. I think this will help me in Jesus, and that's where we want to go. Number five, we fight anxiety with consistency. We fight anxiety with consistency. Let's take a look, finally, verse 9, Philippians 4, verse 9. Move down one verse more. It says, keep putting into practice. Can you see the consistency there? Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. It requires practice and consistency to say, I'm going to start changing what I dwell my thoughts on. Without consistency, our lives never change. And peace of God is a pipe dream. You're going to heaven, praise God. Some of you may be sooner because of a heart attack, but wouldn't it be good you're feeling good and healthy? So it's important for us. It's like wanting to get in shape and to get healthy. So you're going to exercise. And you decide to start off the first month with exercising twice, two times in 1 month. Come on. Both times you will wake up sore, you'll get upset, and you'll quit. And that's the same with what we're doing here. We're glad you come to Hope Chapel. Some of you come a couple times every month. You walk away feeling a little sore, a little disgruntled, and you quit. Man, it's important. Consistency is very important. Your choices for prayer, gratitude, right thinking. Let's nail the last couple. Here we go. Letter A, decide to change your life. Just make that decision. I wouldn't procrastinate anything that you know I want to improve on. Don't do it. Letter B, double up with others to make life changes. Get into a life group. You probably will find there's somebody just like you. And you'll do life together and you'll say, wow, it's just so much easier to do that. Together we find encouragement and accountability. Letter C, depend on God for changes. I like Philippians chapter 2. We're still in Philippians 2. It's one of those verses that I like to pray, but it says here, look at verse 12, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases Him. Isn't that cool? He's giving you a desire and the power. Something's going on. It's not an accident you're here today. Not an accident you're on with us today. God puts something of a desire, and lo and behold, here we are. And so, praise God. And finally, letter D. Letter D, don't quit. Don't quit. Are you going to have hard days? Probably hard weeks. Could go into hard months. Don't quit. Getting rid of anxiety biblically. Don't quit. You'll even hear a voice that tells you it's not worth it. You're not working it correctly. You don't have what it takes. You should stop. I want you to know very clearly, that is a lie. That's a lie. You hear what I just said? Sometimes the most spiritual thing I can muster up is my determination. I will not quit. There's everything in me that's screaming, I want out. But don't quit. Do not quit. It is really that kind of faith that'll get you going. Hang in there. Well, what a great day. I want to take a moment right now. Let me just pray with you. Let's claim some victory over some stuff right now. I'd like you to bow your heads if you wouldn't mind. Father, I want to thank you for everyone here and those who are watching from home or maybe their workstation. Father, I thank you. You said that there is a perfect peace. I will give him a perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me because he trusts in me. Lord, let their peace be really your peace right now. Help us to see and identify things we know we do not want to live that way anymore. And the best way is to start with Jesus. And I just want to lead us all in this simple prayer. And if you have never given your life to Jesus, or you have given your life to Jesus and you need to recommit your life to the Lord, then let me lead you in a prayer and start your wonderful journey with God. This prayer goes like this, and let's pray it out loud. Here we go. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of the world, and that you died for me, and that you rose to life for me. I ask you now, Lord, forgive me of all my sins that I have committed against you and against others. And I invite you, Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord and be my Savior. I'm going to trust you, Lord, for eternal life in heaven with you. Finally, Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Still with your eyes closed, how many just prayed that prayer for the first time to give your life to Jesus? We just put your hand up and then drop it down. I prayed to receive Christ. Okay? Or you prayed to give your life back to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Okay? Excellent. Well, thank you. If you have, saw those three hands, if you gave your life to Jesus, we're going to have people up here to pray. Make sure you get a chance to have people pray with you. It's a wonderful journey. We want to pray a great blessing upon that right now. Let me just add, Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. And for those that are experiencing really a breakthrough from anxiety and dread, feelings of shame and guilt, all that be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, reunite us with you and with other people. Let a great home life begin in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.